Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to your heart, coming to your heart, coming to your heart.
coming into your bar. So come into your bar. Come into your bar.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. I'm Carmen. I'll be your host for tonight. And tonight is May 14th, 2022. Thank you for being on. And let me remind all the callers that if you want prayer and prophecy, please raise your hand by dialing 1 on your keypad on your phone, and then I'll see that your hand's raised up. Okay, everybody. Last week, I do apologize, and thank you, Prophet Randy, for contacting everybody. Last week, I didn't make it. I had to work, and I had told Prophet Randy to cancel it, but then I was so tired I didn't know what I was doing. I called him back and I said, well, let me I can go in an hour later. I still can make it. I'm almost home. And he says, you know, take the night off, he told me, and I continued insisting on it. But then later I realized that God was leading him, because what he did not know was that I had not slept all those hours, and I had been up the day before, and then I had worked from 6 to 8 p.m. And I was very tired. So I was like, but regardless, I was going to serve because it's not me doing it. It's God through me. So I figured, you know, God's going to do it, not me. So I understand that. I just made myself available. But then when Prophet Randy said to take the night off, I'm like, well, this must be from the Lord. He hears from the Lord, so he's telling me something that is from God. And then it became clearer and clearer to me as the days went by, you know, what God was doing last week. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about that priests don't sweat. And you're going to say, well, what's that got to do with all of this? Well, let me take you to this scripture. And the scripture is in, let me see, hold on. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the correct information. It's in Ezekiel 44. It starts on 15, and I'll read up to 20. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the charge of my sanctuary when the people of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me. And they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, declared the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall approach my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. When they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall wear linen garments. They shall have nothing of wool on them while they minister at the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waist. They shall not bind themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go out into the outer court to the people, they shall put off the garments in which they have been ministering and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, lest they transmit holiness to the people with their garments. They shall not shave their heads or let their locks grow long. They shall surely trim the hair of their heads. And so basically what I want to focus on tonight is that part where verse 18, where it says they shall have their linens on their heads and their and linen undergarments around their waist. They shall not bind themselves with anything that causes sweat. So wool was out of the question, and it mentions it here. They shall have nothing of wool on them. Okay, so what I'm trying to focus on here is that God didn't want the priests to sweat while they were ministering to him. They were doing the work of the sanctuary. And God started speaking to me about that this week. And that struck me right away when I heard that. And I understood immediately what God was saying. And what God is saying is that he doesn't want us to sweat when we do the work for him. And I'm going to tie this in with what happened to me last week. Priests are not to sweat. You may say, why? Because the priests were a type of Christ. And the word in John 1:14, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Sweat represents work, the law, your efforts, your performance, hard work to get something done. And it's your work. That's why when Cain and Abel, he accepted one and he didn't accept the sacrifice of the other one, because one was done from what God had given him, and the other one was done from his own works. And so God wants us to understand this. And so this doesn't mean you don't do anything. and wait for God to manifest everything for you. No, that's not what I'm saying here. It's not that kind of not to sweat. What God wants you to do is to give him back and do what he says to do. It has to do in what you're putting your trust in, God or your works. Is God in control or are you in control? Are you trusting on how many prayers you say, how long you fast, how much you give to PGN or whatever other ministries? It's okay to do these things when you're led by God to do them, not do them to get God to do something for you, okay? Know the difference. You do things because you know God has already done it. Therefore, you can rest in what he says in his word. Rest in his promises, the promises to you. It is done. It's a done deal. Remember Miss Ruth? She used to be on PGN, one of our hosts. She used to say, it's a done deal. So it's a done deal. And it should rest in your soul and give you peace. But when you don't understand that and you don't understand what God did on the cross for us, then we can't understand what God did for us and we fall into works. Okay. So that's grace, unmerited favor. You don't have to do anything but to receive what God has for you. You do all of these things because it is already done. It has been given to you. It's like money in the bank. Right? When you know you have money in the bank, then you can use your credit card and cash it in or buy things, use it to buy things. The word of God says, you know, buy without money. And that's how you do it, by God's grace. It's our gratitude out of our belief that God has done it, that God is in control. Therefore, if you're giving your sweat, your hard work, you're working in the ministry, working, you know, for your family, doing whatever it is that God has called you to do, because each one of us has a call, whether you know it or not. You're giving out of your religious works if you're not doing it out of God's obedience and of understanding God's grace for you, the things that he's already provided for you. You're working hard to get something. That seems dumb, right? Why are you going to work hard for what God has already given you if you already have it, right? It's your inheritance. God has given you an inheritance. He died on the cross for this all. All we have to do is receive it, trust him, believe him. And so many people say, well, I do. Not always. And you will see that through your life as you look back and look at the things that you're struggling with, because a lot of those struggles are indicators of you putting your trust in your own works. When you sweat, you're under the law, and you stink to God. You become stinky. Like I tell my dog, Chacho, Chacho is stinky, and he hides from me because he knows he's been rolling in the dry grass. So when you sweat, you're under the law and you don't smell good to God. You're not a pleasing aroma unto him. And so these are the things that we're trying to understand so that we can work on these things, so we can allow God to do what it is that he wants to do in our gardens. It's not us. It's not our works. It's God doing the gardening in our gardens. We are the garden. We have to let him be the gardener in our garden. Okay, so let's look at Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay, so rest equals grace. Grace equals rest. Okay, so when you receive God's grace, you're resting in him. There's a rest. It's not about your circumstances. you're not under your circumstances, you're above your circumstances. It's not, it's besides that. Despite your circumstances, you trust him. When you know God is in control, you're trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. On that finished work, he is your high priest. He is your priest, the priest that you're confessing about, right? So what do? You just agree with Jesus. That's what you do. You come into agreement with him and enjoy his unmerited favor over you. And then you stop sweating. You say, that's simpler than it sounds. Yeah, that's where we have to allow ourselves to understand what he's done for us. That's why we need to study God's word to understand what he's saying. Last week, I didn't have a show. I had a long week, and I worked, and I had told Prophet Randy about it, and so he told me to take a day off. I really wanted to continue to do it, even though I was going to come in late, but because I knew that it's not me doing this, it's God, right? But then when I saw that Prophet Randy said to take the night off, I was like, you know, I enjoy doing this for the Lord. I love doing things for God, not because I get, you know, anything out of it, but because it pleases him. And, you know, it was like, you know, like a child that's in a playland or something, and they're enjoying being there. I do very much enjoy being here ministering to you all. I get a kick out of it, no matter how tired I am. But there was something that God wanted me to understand, and thank God I understood it, and I was obedient. I listened to Prophet Randy because that was the voice of God using him. And he didn't know that I was going without sleep. When you're tired, you think you can do things that you can't, like drive. You shouldn't be driving when you're so tired, because many people think that they can make it, and they end up losing their lives because they think that they can reach their destination, but they don't know that tiredness is going to ruin them. So our own works can ruin us when we don't do what God says to do. I tried insisting, so... then I got past that, and I was joyful, and then I enjoyed my day, my night out. I have other things to do, but besides that, you know, I did enjoy it. I refreshed myself. I needed that refreshing because I was very tired from all the hard work. It was a very long week. So we have to be careful not to let ourselves go hungry or tired, because even in that can open us up to allowing ourselves to start doing works that God hasn't told us to do. We become dull of hearing God's voice, and we have to learn to rest, not only physically but spiritually. Rest sometimes means rest in your body. Rest sometimes means do this and not that, even if that is something good, okay? It's good for me to come in and to minister to you all. I enjoy that. I know that the Lord is pleased, you know, with his children, and knowing that his children are being encouraged. God wants us to let him lead. That's the difference. So trusting in his leading is bigger than doing things and doing things in our own flesh. So being still, when he says, be still, you may not understand it, but he knows why. He wants you to be still. So when God says move, you move. When God says stop, you stop. And that is more to God than all the works that you can do, because the works don't mean nothing. It's your flesh. It's stinky. But now if you want to be a pleasing aroma unto God, you obey God when he says go, or when he says stop. Remember, if God is in control, then rest. When he is in control, you're in a rest. And that's what the priests were doing. They were in a rest. That's why they were not to sweat. Sweat indicated labor. So he's got it. You understand that he's got it, that trusting in him, that he's in control of it all. We don't sweat. Sweat means you that God, that you have it. And you having it, what happens when you sweat? You become stinky. We've had hot weather here in Texas. And so with the hot weather comes stinkiness. Have you been stinky? Let him wash you. Just a few nights ago, we had communion, and that was good. And that got many people back on track with where God wanted them to be. And I hope it was one of you. I hope it was all of you. So Prophet Randy had an awesome communion service. Maybe you need to listen to it again and take communion. Even though it was on Thursday, you need to take communion so that you could enter into that rest and get back on track, because it's already done for you, okay? It's already done for you. God wants you not to strive. He wants you to thrive. I want to explain to you what the word thriving means. And thriving means to make great efforts to achieve or obtain something. Striving means to struggle or fight vigorously. And do you think that the priests, if they were doing that, they would probably break out in a sweat, right? And so when we do all these things and we're always striving, we're not resting in the Lord. So last week, it wasn't a matter of doing the show. I trusted God in doing it through him and listening and obeying what he had in mind for me not to do it. I could have persisted and been out of order, but God wanted me to rest, and that was okay. It was a matter of what God did, what God wanted me to do. If I didn't listen, then the show would have been done in my own flesh, in my own efforts, and God wouldn't have been honored in it. God, at that moment, wanted me to physically rest. And sometimes there's a parallel, spiritually and physically speaking. Sometimes he takes some people to the hospital because they don't learn how to rest in the Lord, and their physical bodies are not resting either. So when we rest, we hear and obey whatever it is God is saying at that moment. And we have to learn to walk in that. We need to walk in that. And the word thrive, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to thrive, not strive, but thrive. God, when God says that he wants us to thrive, God wants us to grow, increase in stature, to grow vigorously or luxuriously, to flourish. And that's funny, because as I was reading that that word, increase a stature, that was one of the words that Prophet Randy gave on Thursday for me. And I immediately, bing, I realized it in my spirit, you know, that I was on target by being obedient in what God was saying. I need to rest and to do whatever it is, follow his leading, just like you need to follow his leading in whatever it is that God is leading you. And you may think that you're okay, but are things out of whack in your life? So the only reason why I'm giving you this is because I'm putting myself as an example so that you could understand what it is that God wants to do in your life too. So you, as I was studying the word, I understood that God wants us to grow. When we grow, we're in his rest, okay? As I obeyed, I trusted God and that he wanted me to rest. God was showing me that I was thriving in him, and that pleased him so much. He was so pleased that I was resting. And I just listened to music. I enjoyed myself. So I hope this helped you all to understand how not to sweat. Thriving, it's a simple message. Thriving means that you can enjoy life in spite of the challenges it presents, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of whatever is going around you. You can thrive when you trust in the Lord and trust in Him, and you're still before Him and allow yourself to rest in Him. Remember the scripture that I gave earlier? Let me look at that one. Where he says, let's see, where did I write that one? It was in Matthew, where he talks about to rest on Him, that He's that to give your burdens unto Him, that He will give you rest. So if you are feeling heavy laden, and work is hard, life is hard, relationships are hard, rest in Him. Do things the way He says. Okay? And so let Him lead you in spite of your circumstances. Let Him tell you there will be people. And let me tell you, when you start learning to rest in God, there's going to be people that are jealous of you just for the fact that you've got this peace about you. When they see you, that you're enjoying life regardless of what's happening to you, that you should be crying and sad, and you're joyful, and they're going to get mad because they're not, they're miserable. They're not doing what God is saying, and, you know, like they say, misery loves company. So Jesus helps you to make lemonade out of those lemons, right? So let me tell you, that's true. That's true living. That's living in His peace, when you trust in Him so much that in spite of, God has everything under control. And so don't sweat. Don't forsake your own works, your own ways. Forsake and stop living in suspense, in frustration, in discouragement, in worry. And some that even want to quit doing ministry. God doesn't want you to quit doing ministry. If you're wanting to quit a job, a ministry, or something that God has called you to do, sometimes, not always, sometimes it's necessary to go, but that's the difference. You need to know what He's saying, and He'll tell you sometimes to leave that. But when it's ministry and God's called you to do ministry, He wants you, and you want to quit, that means you're sweating. You're the one that's putting all the effort. You're not letting God do it. And you may say, oh, but this is too hard. Life is too hard. This past week, I've heard of people that committed suicide because life was too hard for them. Many people on YouTube, there were some people that were talking about their loved ones committing suicide. Life was too hard. They didn't rest in the Lord. Whatever it is God is calling you to do, rest in the Lord. Yesterday, I was visiting a friend, an elderly lady, and I felt God wanted me to go visit her. My heart, it was a bit sad to know that no one visited her for Mother's Day. And she's a hard person. She's a difficult person. I went to bring her some joy. So I was glad I did go, and we had a good time together. And little did I know that I would be the one to be blessed. She was sharing with me something she got in the mail. It was a tapestry, and on that tapestry, there was these words, Hineni. Hineni, H-I-N-E-N-I, Hineni. And that's a Hebrew word. Hineni means here am I. Here am I. Many Bible believers in the Bible, like Moses, Abraham, Samuel, many others, when God called them, they said, Hineni, here am I. And so this means they were ready to hear and obey. And this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you sweat, you're not obeying. When you trust and rest in Him, that's when you're hearing Him and obeying Him to know what He wants, not what you want. and not knowing what was about, they didn't know what God was about to do in their lives when he was calling them. And when they said, Hineni, here I am I. And so then God did great things, but he had to wait for them to be ready to obey. Are you ready or are you still sweating? So like in Ezekiel, God was speaking to prophets and priests and many people, but he tells Ezekiel in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and that I should not destroy it, because I found no one. So how could God say that he didn't find anyone? All God wanted was a person that would stand before him to pray for these people. He was saying, who can I send? Someone to stand before him, to come into his presence and to know him, to know what he wants, what he wanted. So God is trying to tell us that in these days, in order for us to be pleasing unto him, we need to know him. So we are obedient to hear what he says and do what he says, not what we think or how we should do it, but to do it his way. And the Lord this past week also, well, let me get back to Ezekiel. There were many prophets and priests and princesses. They were all sweating it. And they were active in their service to him, but God didn't recognize them. But God couldn't find someone that would know him, know his ways. The people wanted to see something happening fast, right now. Doesn't that sound like today? A lot of people want things like shake and bake. I don't know if you ever heard of that shake and bake. There used to be a commercial that would show you how to make your chicken really quick and you're in and out of the kitchen. They didn't want to know God. They wanted their way. And God wants us to be able to be in his presence, to listen to what he has to say. Then there's the works that we do will be good works, to do what he tells us to do. Will you say, Hineni Adonai, here I am, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Are you the one that's going to say, Hineni Adonai? So there's something that the Lord was showing me this past week. He was saying we need to pray more in tongues because we do not know always the will of God. We don't always know what's on the mind of God. And he says the best prayer and the perfect prayer is to pray in tongues. And God confirmed that to me the other day. I don't know if it was on Tuesday where Prophet Randy, yes, it was on Tuesday. And that on that very same day, I was speaking to somebody on the phone and telling them we need to pray more in tongues, so that we can pray the perfect prayer. And then, like 30 minutes after that, I'm listening to Prophet Randy on the radio, on the PGM show, where he's talking about tongues, that praying more in tongues, and how God was touching him to pray for Israel. And he broke out in an anointed prayer session there. We all think that we know more or less what God was doing, but there's many reasons for tongues. It could be for edification, it's for intercession, for many things. But I believe that God was showing not only him, but us, you know, that God uses us to enter into that prayer to break things off of other people, off of ourselves. It could be many things. And it's almost like I was telling my friends, tongues are like a top secret. It's top secret. The enemy doesn't know. We don't even know what we're saying sometimes. Sometimes God gives us the interpretation of it. And it's secret, so the enemy does not know. So it is a powerful prayer. So I encourage you all that this week, that as you pray for the government, that as you pray for your families, whatever the case may be that you lift up in prayer, that you lift it up in tongues. okay, and pray over it, even though you may not know how to pray. Sometimes we think we know, and it may not be the perfect prayer. It may not be what's on God's will, on God's mind. So this week, as you ask yourself, are you living in his presence? Are you resting? Are you, or are you sweating? Are you sweating? So put on the garment that God has given you, okay? And praise him. The garment of praise, of prayer. Seek him. Seek him. And so I give you that message tonight. I hope you understand it. If you don't remember anything, just remember the word Hineni. Here I am. Are you here for the Lord? Are you doing it your way? Are you frustrated? Maybe that's an indication of what's going on in your life, that there's frustration in your life. And that's, I'm not saying that life is going to go without it. But when you're in God's rest, you are in God's rest despite of what's going on around you. You'll be on top. You're not going to be under your circumstances. Okay? So tonight, if anyone wants prayer ministry, please dial 1 on your keypad on your phone, and I'll know to pick up. There's many callers on, but nobody has their hands lifted. If not, I'll take you to a song that I believe that the Lord wants me to play, and it has to do about the commission. And this song is almost like it's Jesus talking to you. Talking to you. So listen to it closely. And it's part of a movie. I believe it's called The Commission. It's a great movie. And so please listen to it. Other than that, I'll wait for people's hands to be raised before I take calls, okay? All right. So the song is The Commission. Oh, my goodness. I've heard that song so many times, and it just hit me this time. It's the Lord telling us, go tell the world about me. And God is saying, who will I send? We have to say, Hineni Adonai. Here I am, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Oh, wow. I could sense the presence of God so strong. I don't know about you. I'll take my first caller. Give me a minute here. My first caller is 11111. Your name and where you're from.
This is Robbie from Virginia.
Robbie, give me a minute. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I hear it's time. It's time. It's time, my brother. It's time. It's time. It's time to move. It's time to move. And I'm not speaking about a physical move. I'm speaking about spiritual move is what I'm hearing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Robbie.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, Father God. I just pray, Father God, that you guide him and help him to hear you clearly as to what it is you want him to do. In Jesus' name, it's time. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Robbie?
Thank you, Jesus.
What's going on, Robbie?
Hallelujah. I was actually driving, and I was listening to the teaching, and wow, it was just, the teaching was so beautiful. So I found out in my life personally that when I finally began to start understanding and getting a greater understanding of that rest and resting in Christ and his finished work and the things that he's already done and leaning and depending on the Holy Spirit, I begin to sense a greater peace in my life.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But what you're going to do in Robbie's life, Lord, help him, Father God. That's all I feel like I have for you. I'm saying that's what I hear. It's time. It's time to move. It's time to move. I don't know what that means.
Praise God.
But you would know. Because you know, you understand about the rest, and you understand about hearing God. So I'm
yes.
sure that you're hearing, you understand what I'm saying to you.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's confirmation.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's time. It's time for you to move, to do what it is that God has been calling you to do. And what do you do?
Well, I am a minister, and
okay.
I minister weekly on the, through by way of a conference.
Okay.
And the Lord has been opening. The Lord has really been opening some major doors in my life, and even as far as a ministry. And one of the things that I'm starting to learn even the more is that it's because it's God's purpose and it is his plan and his desire for my life. One of the things I'm beginning to understand that ministry is not really so much, is not really about us. Because when we make it about us, that's when we find ourselves in this struggle.
Exactly. Exactly.
When we're motivated and moved by love and the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, this, it constrains and it compels us to move in the direction that God is leading.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because we're hearing him and we're not choosing our way, but God's way. But how do you know God's way if you're not seeking him and you're not being sensitive to his voice, is what
that's true.
God wants us to understand, you know. And, yeah, we may miss it because we may be tired and, like, what happened to me last week, you know, a lot of things happening. And but I know when I hear the voice of my God what I'm supposed to do. And I knew that when the prophet read, said something, I was like, I wanted to insist. My flesh was wanting to go against it, but because I was tired. But I knew that God was, he was hearing God. And I go, even as simple as something like that, I needed to obey. And so I listened and I rested, not only physically, but spiritually. I rested. And God knew what I needed. He's not going to push you to the breaking point. God knew I had not slept, and I was up since 6 in the morning up to 8.
Right.
He knew what I could do, but I was more than happy to give him whatever it is that he wanted me to do. But at that moment, he said, no, rest. And I was thinking about the PGM family, but God took care of it. If you trust God, you trust God with everything, with all the other people. And I prayed to take care of everything, Lord. You know, I wanted to be with them, but you're the one that's taking care of everything. So whatever God, and I think it's about the ministry, you got to step out. It's time. It's time. So name me. Here am I. Are you going to tell him, here am I, and are you going to do it?
Wow, that's beautiful.
Brother?
My God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And God is calling each and every one of us here online tonight. Are we ready? Are we ready to stop sweating? And letting God have his
yes.
Life? Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm feeling a strong thing. I know it's God. I'm not understanding everything. I know that God is getting us ready, and he wants to know if we're ready, if we are wanting to do it his way. So
right.
Is there anything that you want prayer for or a testimony, anything you want to say, brother?
I'm just, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, the Lord allowed me to tune in tonight because I was in a conference, you know, listening this morning, and then, well, actually two times this morning, and all day it's been consistent. This has been the consistent theme that God has been speaking. Even what I heard tonight.
Amen. So you know what you got to do. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Ravi, Lord. I pray that, Father God, you help him, Father God, as he steps out into the deep waters. Lord, help him, Father God, to do what it is that you've called him to do. We thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for his calling. We ask you to supply all the needs that he may have, Father God. And in spite of all that, Lord, he's obedient to you. Lord, and whatever unspoken words or prayers, Lord, we ask that we lift them up to you, Lord. And help him to carry his burdens, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Anything else,
Amen.
Brother?
Amen. No, but thank you. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you. I feel the anointing really strong. I feel it, especially after playing that song, The Commission. God is telling us, go tell them about us, about me. So go, Robbie, go tell them about Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, good night and have a blessed week.
Thank All right. Good night. You have a blessed week as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Amen. If you want prophecy, please raise your hand. There's many callers, but nobody's lifting their hands up. The next caller is 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'm from Alabama.
Sarah from Alabama. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah from Alabama, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. I see you moving towards a situation. Well, it's not a situation, but you're moving towards something new in your life, and you're reluctant. But God says, two are better than one. Two are better than one. And there's synergy where there's two. But when there's one, there is a lot of work. But when there's two, it's better than one, is what I'm hearing. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're telling Sarah, Father God. I pray that you make that clear to her, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life. And I hear the word work, 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 work. God doesn't want you to work, 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 work. He wants you to rest in him. I see the word work, 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 work. You're working, you're working, you're working. But God says, rest, rest in me. And I don't know if you heard the message earlier, but I pray that you listen to it and understand what it is that God is telling you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life and in the life of her daughter. Lord, I just pray, Father God, the peace of God over their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Sarah, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I guess I would like to expound on it. That's what I do when I'm at work. I move nonstop, and it's just that's what I do. I'm just constantly on the move.
Yeah.
I mean, I like what I do, but you know, if God says rest, put some rest in it, then definitely. I want to listen
more
to
words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go ahead,
it's
I'm
more
sorry.
Than that too. Yeah, it's more than that, Sarah. Also, yeah, there sometimes it's a physical rest, but it's also a spiritual rest that God is talking about. So, as you listen to the show at the beginning, I don't know if you were able to hear it. There is a message mm-hmm. there for all of us tonight, and God is getting us ready. God is getting us ready as a PGN family. God is getting us ready as individuals. God is getting us ready as families. God is getting us ready in marriages. God is getting us ready because there is a reason. What may be true in one person may not necessarily be true with another person. And so that's why we have to know the mind of God as to what we are to do in our own lives. And that can only come from God. And he will confirm it to you. Things that you already know, he'll confirm it to you, but he won't use other people to tell you what God is saying. He'll confirm it. And it may not, sometimes we are not listening, so it doesn't sound like a confirmation. So, Lord, I just pray that you would help her to hear your voice clearly, especially in these days that are it's so necessary, Father God. We need to be in tune with your spirit, Father God, like never before. I don't understand it, but Lord, Lord, I pray that you, the people on this call, Lord, that you prepare them like never before, Father God, that they'll be prepared to be used by you, that when you call them to do whatever it is that you're calling them to do, that they'll say, Hineni am I, in the name of Jesus. Do you have a prayer need or a testimony you want to give?
Well, a testimony. I was on this call, and a woman of God, I mean, it was like we just, gosh, I mean, the power of the Lord was so strong. It was this morning as I was waking up, getting ready to go to work and everything, and it was like the power of the Lord was so strong between the both of us, and it was like and I just woke up this morning and I just was getting ready. And so when I called and we talked as prayer partners, you know,
That's probably what God was talking about a little while ago, about two. Of the two.
Yeah.
Who is
better
than
one?
Yeah, I believe it. Go ahead. I'm curious to hear what you're saying. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, that's okay, because it just goes together. It's confirmation to what you were saying. And it was just awesome. I mean, you know, because I needed it, you know, because I felt like, you know, I want to celebrate the Lord. I want to be more, have more of him and less of me. And I want him to increase while I decrease. So it was like I was at a place to whereas we both were celebrating the Lord. And really just, he's our strength, you know. So when it's two better than one, it's good, because sometimes you may need to fuel up, you know, and just have that power pack prayer and with the Lord and be more about him, you know, in your day and in your life. Yes,
exactly. I'm thinking about that word too. And Jesus sent them out two by two. That's what came to my mind right now. So apparently God is not leaving you alone to yourself. He's putting maybe that lady in your path so that there is that synergy that can't happen when we're by ourselves. And so this is the season to move in prayer like never before. But I recommend, like I said before, pray in tongues. And Prophet Randy confirmed it this week. When he was praying, I was like, oh, Lord, you're saying the same thing to me. You've been telling me the same thing. So he confirmed it too through what he was saying on Tuesday night. We need to pray. That is the perfect prayer. So I remember hearing a testimony on Sid Roth many years ago, where he was giving his testimony about how God was stirring him to seek him more, and all he could do was pray in tongues. Him and this other rabbi named Bernie, I can't remember his last name, but they were praying. And in that prayer time, while they were praying in tongues, God gave them an assignment. And that assignment was to pray for the Ukraine. At that time, the Ukraine was closed for anyone to go to do ministry. But they continued praying throughout the many years. And God opened the doors for them to go into the Ukraine and minister to the Jewish people. And many got saved. Many got healed. There was a lot of deliverance going on. And so it all started through the power of praying in tongues. They didn't know many things. And then as time went by, the Lord kept, you know, gave them the understanding of their tongues. But that's his testimony, how God began to use him and this other rabbi. So you continue praying, and I recommend you pray in tongues. God confirmed that to me on Tuesday with Prophet Randy. And let me tell you, Prophet Randy is hot on the things of God lately. It may sound simple, but you need to listen. listen to what he's saying. He knows, even in the small little details, the man is hearing from the Lord. He knows what God wants. He hears from God. He is, and I'm not saying this because I want to flatter. I'm not a person that likes to flatter anybody. I don't like flattery myself. But I'm telling you, the man's on target. He knows. He's hearing from God. He has proven himself to God. And so listen to his teachings during the week and pray. Pray in tongues. This is not the time for self. This is the time for lifting up the Lord and telling other people about Jesus. Amen? Amen. And I'm not understanding it, but there's something coming maybe in the horizon that we all need to be prepared for. Oh, Lord, I tell you, I've listened to that song so many times, and I could feel the anointing hit me so hard, you know, as I was listening to it. So, yes, Sarah, is there any other thing you want to say, another testimony? I know you're a woman of God that loves God. There's always something going on in your life with the Lord.
Well, I just wanted to keep praying for, you know, just more strength, you know, as far as, you know, I just want to increase in my strength as far as, you know, having the divine revelation and the word of knowledge. So when I read the word, that I get the clear meaning of what God wants me to have, you know, because I want a relationship, a divine relationship with him, you know, because like you were saying,
he will show you. He will continue to show you. He's going to show you, and it's going to increase as you give yourself more, but not in works. It's in, okay, Lord, here I am. Here am I. I want what you want. Show me. And he's going to show himself what he wants from you, but you have to be ready to be obedient to do what it is that he's telling you to do. Amen. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready? Amen. So continue. Amen. He's going to show you as you let him reveal himself, get close to him. Because as I was showing in Ezekiel, he was telling, who shall I send? And we're reading that there were priests and there were prophets. There were other people there, but he didn't acknowledge any of them. Because they weren't doing what he was saying. He said, who shall I send? He says, all God wanted was a person to stand before him, a person to come into his presence and to know him, to know what he wanted. So that's what all God asks of you. He wants you to know him so that when you hear him, you obey and do what it is in the most smallest things. Even when he says, rest, get up, you get up. Get up and pray for this person. Get up and pray for this person. And as you show yourself that you are faithful, he will give you more and more and more and more. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. I just felt a wave right there. Thank you, Lord. Is there anything you want to pray about or anything else you want to say?
I tell you, it's cool. Okay. Tell you.
Sorry?
Jesus is alive. Huh?
Amen. Amen.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh,
yes, I
felt that too. When you said you felt the wave, I could just feel the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Yes. And we have to share that with others. It's time to share him with others. Amen.
Yeah, because, amen. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a time that we need to be able, like, you know, I told you that I was getting the tracks and everything, and I end up receiving them. And so what I do now that I receive them is I put them, like, at the front desk. It may be at the hospital or it may be at anywhere. And then they say, are you a minister? And I'm like, well, I receive it.
Exactly.
I said, no, I'm not a minister.
And you do God's work. I mean, it's not a paper that tells you that You're a minister of God. And that's what I've been speaking about tonight. The priest did not sweat. If you're a priest, you do not sweat. You do not strive. You thrive in the Lord. He doesn't want us to wear ourselves out. He wants us to do it, allow him to do it through us. And that's when we rest. Mm-hmm. But when we start doing work, then that's when we're tired. We're frustrated. And things are not coming out right. And sometimes that'll still continue happening. But when you're in God's rest, you are walking in that rest in spite of what's going on around you. It's not taking your energies. You're resting in him. He knows what you need. He knows when you can go. He knows when you need to stop. He knows when you need to turn and talk to that person. He knows when you need to give that track over here to that person. But it can't be done in the flesh. It has to be done listening to God and his direction. Amen? And knowing him. And when you know him, it's like when a husband and wife are together, they almost finish each other's sentences sometimes because they know each other so well. They know what the other one wants and what they want. So when we know God so well, we know what he wants. We know when we have to stop doing something or saying something. So amen. Amen. All right, Sarah, amen. Is there anything else?
Well, no, may God continue to bless you. I just keep praying that I'm going to pray for you as well
yes.
tonight, that the Lord may continue to bless you. Let me pray. And I will just, well, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you more boldly and to the throne of grace, Father God. Thanking you, Father God, for paying the sin debt and the atonement. You didn't have to, but you did, Jesus, for both of us, for everybody. And I thank you, Father God, for all that you do, for everything that you could ever do for us, Jesus, for everybody that's with PGN and everybody that's on the prayer lines. We are in need of you, Jesus. We want you to be a part of our lives. We want you to lead, God, and direct. And for the woman of God that's on the phone, Father God, she's been with PGN, Father God, for a while, and she's a light, Father God. You've made her a light for those who are experiencing darkness. And when you ask, we're asking you that you continue to make her that light, Jesus, that burns for you, Jesus, and continue to strengthen her, guide her, and lead her in every day of her life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. I didn't expect that. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. God bless you, Sarah.
Blessings God bless you,
you.
Too. All blessings
right.
over you.
All right. Good night and have a blessed
you week. You too. Thank you.
All right. Next call is 731-334. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, it's a different show tonight. I sense it very different. All right. 731-334. Seven three one three three four. Your name and where you're from. Okay, I'll go back to you later. 321-230. Your name and where you're from.
This is Antelise calling from Florida. How are you?
Good and you. One moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Antelise from Florida, Father God. Ora vidi andoro no coi era vosso andala ne chiedi di otora vacai osho tolori chiedi di andala na kai. There's been some things in your life that are not what you would have had them to be, but the Lord says there's some chances, there's some chances, second chances. I don't know what that's all about. But I sent second chances. And I thank you, Father God, for second and third and fourth and fifth chances, Lord, because you are our God of grace, Father God. You help us to, you give us the grace, Father God, to deal with the things that have come our way, Father God, and to make them better, Father God. Thank you, Lord, because you bring healing in situations that were torn by the enemy, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, for what you're doing in Angelisa's life. I thank you, Lord, because she is an example of your love and your grace, and she will be an example to others, Father God, even more so as the days go by, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing and moving in her life, Father God, in her family, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for that willing heart, Father God, that willing heart to seek your ways and not her ways, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for that in Jesus' name. So I thank you for the second chances, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, before that heart that praises you, that heart that seeks after you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I see your hands up high, Angelise. I see your hands up high. And your God is pleased with you. And that's why he's saying about the second chances. That I don't know if it has something to do with a situation that you're going through or what it is, but I see your hands, your praises are reaching heaven, and he hears, he's hearing you. And I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing right now. I thank you, Father God, for those prayers are breaking through. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those prayers that are breaking through in the name of Jesus, for her love for you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you for her.
Sister, how are you?
Thank you, Lord. I called in tonight. I just planned on listening because I called in last night, but I needed that. I appreciate you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Do you have a testimony or something you want to say or ask for prayer?
Nothing specific, but I just want to thank you. I have so much going on in my life, I wouldn't even know where to start. But God, every time he showed up, every time.
Yes. Well, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Bless her, Father God, and help her in everything that she would do things in your strength, Father God, so that she can rest in you. And I lift up all those cares to you, Lord, and give my sister rest in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
And God has a calling for you. And so God wants you to move in that also. And so I know you have other things, but in spite of all those things, put him first and do what it is that he's calling you to do. Amen. And remember, when God gives us grace and gives us that second chance, it's like those things never happen, and he's giving us a fresh start. So you have a fresh start. And remember, these things around you are always going to be around. Either one thing or another, something's always going to be there to distract you. But always put him first, okay? Remember,
you
have a call, and we have to pay attention. We are living in these days where we have to pay attention. Be mindful of what he tells us and be so that we can be used for his glory, and he wants to use you, okay?
Amen. Yes,
I know
you
say that you have all these things, but remember, what's important is Jesus. It's what he wants. Amen. All these things will pass away. They'll be gone. But the importance of doing what we need to do now, this chance, we don't get it again. In heaven, there won't be a need for that. Okay? So it's right now. Right now, with all the challenges and everything, is when we have to step out and start telling others about him. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, and I just said that, and I felt that wave again. This is about that.
I felt it too. I spoke the same thing to people earlier. I mean, it was almost the same as what you were just saying. Like, the time is now. God needs you now. It's people that need you right now. It's people that need what it is that you do right now. And he's ready for you to move right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the exact same thing. And
he left so that we could do greater works than he did. That's why he left.
Yes.
And he left us the Holy Spirit so that we could do greater things. And so this is the time to those greater things. Once we're in heaven, there's no need for that, for all the stuff that we need to do now. So
mm-hmm.
he wants our obedience now. So
right.
I'm excited for you. I could feel that. I know this is about the commission. God wants us to tell him, to tell other people about him. And
mm-hmm.
he's going to put these people, but you have to be obedient in that. Everything, I mean, I know I'm busy too. I have things in my life that I need to take care of. But there's nothing more important than taking care of God's business. Amen.
Right.
And doing it
Amen.
His way, not in the flesh, but his way. Because if we do it in the flesh, we become stinky. I hope you heard the beginning of the show.
Yes, I've been
priests
on since
don't
the beginning.
Sweat. Yeah, priests don't sweat. We don't want to be stinky. We don't want to do things in our own strength. We want to do
mm-hmm.
it the way God says. Amen. Resting in him.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you keep on telling everybody about Jesus. Amen. That,
I will. Amen.
That's your calling. All right. Is there anything else you would like to say, a testimony, a prayer that you need to ask for? What is it?
No, just nothing specific. Maybe just prayer over my finances. That's
okay.
Really, I can't think of anything else at the moment, but. Yeah.
Okay. Father God, you're the one that supplies all our needs according to your riches and glory, Lord. We just ask you to do that for my sister. Help her with her finances. Lord, I just pray that you make it easy for her, Father God, to miraculously be able to save, to have the job that she needs, Father God. I pray that you bless her with that, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that ahead of time, before it even appears in her life. We thank you because we know
thank
it's already
you,
done. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, God bless you. Have a blessed week.
God bless you. You as well.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jesus. 50, well, let me go back to 731-334, your name and where you're from. Thank you, Lord. 731-334, your name and where you're from. I don't know why they can't hear me, but I'll come back to that call again. Let's see. 504-282, your name and where you're from.
Nicole. Hi, it's Nicole from New Orleans.
Okay, Nicole from New Orleans. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for Nicole, Father God. The love of God is increasing in her. She is loving much, Father God. She's loving, and people wonder, well, why is she loving that person? What is it about that person that she loves? But the Lord is saying that you are loving like he loves. That even though nobody understands why you love certain people, that you love them, you truly love them. And I thank you, Father God, for that outpouring of love from her to those people that need your love. I ask you, Father God, that you spread that love to other people, Father God, and it's almost like you're outreaching. I see that word outreach. Like, I don't know if you're part of a ministry where they outreach to people, but I see that word outreach. And so, Lord, I just pray. I thank you, Lord, for whatever that outreach is, reaching out to other people, Father God. I just pray that you use her mightily and let her, the love of Jesus, continue to pour out from her, Father God. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for showing her that you know, that you see her and all the things that she does for you, Father God, because of the love of Jesus in her heart for you. Thank you, Lord, Father God. I pray that you do more in her, increase that even more in Jesus' name. I see that word outreach in Jesus' name. Are you there, Nicole?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. Okay. Amen. Yes. Yes, so, for sure.
What are you doing?
It's so funny. You know, at the beginning of the year, I've just, you know, I asked God to just show me, you know, how to love the way that he loves and
mm-hmm.
Just challenged me to have a deeper understanding of love. And he's done exactly that. And, you know, just feeling the nudge and calling for him to, you know, show me how to love the unlovable and just people that,
you know, I was
going
to say to love the unlovely is what I was going to say. To love the like God was giving you a love for the unlovely. And
yes.
I was like, that doesn't sound nice, or for some reason
it
I just, you know,
sound,
that.
But it's totally accurate. That's exactly what God has been placing on my heart, especially in this year and this season. You know, in my personal life and my professional life, I recently took a job in a psychiatric unit in a hospital. And
oh, no wonder.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, yes. My goodness, girl. How
so
the
you
Lord
understand
was
where I'm going with this.
girl. And I mentioned something about that at the beginning of the show, of, you know, people committing suicide. There's a lot of mental illness and dear Lord, we have to love people out of that. It's demonic. And people don't understand.
Yes.
Even Christians don't even understand that it is a demonic thing, that it's not something that you can talk away, that you can,
right.
You know, that you have to, you know, I have a friend that says, you know, well, why do you have to know the details of people's lives sometimes? And the reason why is because I'm interested in human behavior. And that's what my background
right.
is, social psychology. And I love to understand where they came from. But the bottom line, a lot of it is demonic. It starts
it
off one way. Start off with a trauma that somebody else did or something that they got involved in that caused trauma. And it just spirals and it becomes strongholds in a person's life to the point where they're held in bondage by the enemy. And we've seen that in the news lately where people have committed suicide. And many people don't understand how that works. And I love learning about all that so that I can see how God can use me to help them. So I understand you very – wow. Wow,
yes.
That is amazing. That's what I was hearing. I was hearing that word outreach. I was actually seeing it in my spirit, outreach. So I'm not sure if it's all in your work, but it may be also in ministry.
Yes.
I think it may be in ministry.
I can see that. For a while, you know, especially at the beginning of the year, you know, I was just praying that God would just make me a storehouse so that, you know, I can just pour out love to the homeless, just people who are, you know, less fortunate. Like, I had this ideal in my mind about setting up a fine dining dinner out in public for the homeless, like almost as if they've gone to a 5-star restaurant and just to have where we just, you know, love on them and celebrate them. But I haven't been able to do it because, you know, it will come out of my pocket and, you know, I haven't had, you know, necessarily that
extent of funds, but it's something that's been on my heart. As soon as I can, I definitely will do it. But,
you know, as you're saying that, you know, I see a table, and I believe the Lord is wanting you to give them the food of the word. And I think that you're supposed to be, I don't know, I think it has something to do with ministry, maybe partnering that understanding of, you know, the demonic and the deliverance and all that stuff. When people get free, they get the food that they need. And sometimes, you know, we do feed them physically. Because I remember a ministry that I was in with these this African pastor. And he dealt with a lot of demons in his where he came from, and his wife was an intercessor. And so they did that. They would feed the homeless and you know, minister to them and sometimes pray with them, and they would be set free. But I don't know. I think there's something that has to do with the knowledge that you're learning through all of that. At work, but it's partnered with the things of God. God's gonna, I don't know. It's like merge it together. I don't know, some kind of outreach of some sort. You're going to have to pray about that and ask him what it is exactly that he wants you to do. But I think it's not just your work. I think it has to do with, you know, the spiritual aspect of it, because that's where they're going to get deliverance.
Yes, I can see that.
You know, some of them don't have, some of the homeless don't have mental illness, but some of them do. That's why they're in the streets. And so that's where they're being delivered. But as you follow the Holy Spirit and his guidance, he's going to show you this one needs this, this one needs this, give this one this. And it's like it's you're giving them the word, and they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. So, just pray about that. That's what I'm sensing. And that's what I saw that word, outreach. I saw it. Outreach. So I don't know if your church does anything like that.
I receive it. They actually don't. It's hard to find any churches these days that do anything like that.
I know.
Which is a lot. You know, I was interested in it because I just feel like, you know, they're just ignored.
Just pray about
that
it.
Word. I definitely will pray about it.
And have the people in your church continue to pray. And you pray in the spirit about it as the Lord. Like I was saying at the beginning of the show with Sid Roth, he knew he had something that he had to do from the Lord. And he just prayed in tongues. And as he prayed in tongues, the Lord started revealing the things, the mission that he had for him. And he got the understanding through the tongues, and then he realized that he had to go. This was years ago before the Ukraine was open to the gospel. And so they prayed that God would open up Ukraine to the gospel, and it did. And they were able to go in and do conferences. They ministered to the Russian Jews, and many got healed, delivered. Yeah, there's a big story on that. And so I know that whatever God has called you, I know that Prophet Randy says that he has a calling to Israel. So as we pray for whatever it is that God has for us, you know, the best thing is to pray in tongues, like Sid Roth did. He prayed in tongues. And I've heard many people that have prayed about certain things, you know, just in tongues, because the enemy doesn't understand your tongues. And so God will give you understanding when it's the right time for you to understand all of that. So pray in tongues as God shows you what to do. But I see something about outreach. I saw that. So pray about that, okay? And have the people in your church to pray also. Because the intercessors go to the intercessors, you know, I need you guys to pray over me for this, you know, so that God could give me direction. And you seek him on the matter. God, show me, reveal to me what it is that you would have me do. Okay?
Okay. I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you, girl.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Nice talking to you as well. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. All right. 804-218. your name and where you're from. I'm sorry, I can't hear you too clearly. Can you? Hello? 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 Your name and where you're from? Hello? All right, I'm just, you know, I can't make out what they're saying. If they're talking to me or not, I'll come back to them. 731-334, your name and where you're from?
Hi, this is Ashley. I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh, finally, Ashley. We had to try to talk to you earlier. All right, let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Ashley. Lord, I just thank you, Father God. You know, when I heard your name, I saw a silver spoon. And I believe that God has provided a lot of things for you. He's giving you stuff. And I believe that God is providing certain things, but he blesses us so that we can bless others. Amen. And so he put some a silver spoon, like you maybe have something that God has given you, and so that he wants you to give to others. Amen. A silver spoon. I don't exactly understand what that is about, a silver spoon. Give me a minute. Let me see. Let me look it up. Let me see what's that about. I just saw a silver spoon. So it's about wealth. Wealth, especially inherited wealth. So I don't know if you already are in that or you're coming into that. You're coming into some inherited wealth or you're already in that. Silver spoon is what I saw. Silver spoon. So, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Ashley's life, what you're giving her, Father God, so that she can give to others, Father God, so she is blessed to be a blessing, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. You're moving in. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So it has to do something with wealth, inherited wealth. I'm not sure. Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah,
how are
interesting.
You?
I'll have to pray about that. That's definitely interesting. I'll have to pray about that. I know. I just thought it was funny when you said silver spoon because I like to draw and like be creative, and I was trying to think of new ideas to like sketch out in my art book, my sketchbook. And the other day, mm-hmm. I was just thinking about drawing something that had to do with the theme of like silver spoon.
Mm-hmm. So, maybe that was a prophetic thing that God was trying to show you, and you caught that, and you were. Do you know that there is prophetic art?
Yeah.
So you may have been prophesying over yourself through the art. God, you were hearing the voice of God, the prophetic voice, and you were drawing it. So, but I think it's more than that too. I think there's something about wealth, some type of wealth. I'm not sure if it's the artist in you or what, but it's a, from what I gather here in the meaning of a silver spoon. Thank you, Lord. It means wealth, inherited wealth. So I don't know if it's that actually is gonna be that, or if it has something to do maybe with your art. Maybe that's where your wealth will be coming from. I don't know. Prophetically, so you were hearing something. You were hearing God.
Yeah.
You were hearing God.
I Yeah, I really think I was now.
Yeah, you were hearing him prophetically, and that's what you were drawing. Some people speak the prophetic over other people. Some people draw it. Some people dance the prophetic. And so I believe that we're in a season of the prophet, you know, the prophetic, whether it's through all those means, you know. So keep praying and asking the Lord to develop that, to reveal more of that to you so that you understand what it is that he's trying to tell you. But that's what I saw, the silver spoon. The silver spoon. So there's wealth in that. Silver spoon means wealth, right?
Right.
Amen.
I claim it. Whatever prosperity God has for me, whether it's in the arts or anything he's doing in my life, you know, I claim that.
Yeah, so do more of that art and put worship music while you're painting and see what the Lord will start using you in. Do you do that as a hobby or what?
Yes and no. I haven't done it for a while, actually. I've just been really busy. I'm going to college online, and I'm working. But I really, really love art, and I did art in high school, all through high school. And I've been getting people – I've been calling in, actually, to Jeannie and Deborah. I think both of them mm-hmm. actually gave me words about creativity and something to do with
really?
Art. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I think God's trying to tell me something.
That's three times then. So maybe
yeah.
there's something there that God wants to bless you in with wealth, maybe through the art. But when you do things, like I was saying in the show, when we do things on our own, we sweat. But when we do things the way God says, we rest and things flow. Things flow. Amen? And so maybe I don't understand the gist of everything, you know, what all of that is all about. But if I were you, I would seek him more on that matter. That's probably something that he would have you to do.
Yeah, I think you're confirming a lot. I think it does have to do with art, with the silver spoon thing. Jeannie actually prayed when she prayed for me about the creativity and art, and she said something about even having it bless me through monetary means as well. And she also used the word flow like you did. She said the art would flow through her.
So that's three. So, hey, that's God. That's God trying to get that word across to you. So what are you going to do about it, Ashley, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm going to pray in the tongues and worship God. And I'm going to practice my art and seek him.
Yes. I've seen, while there's worship being played, artists painting, people dancing, sometimes even prophetic poems. I mean, there's different creative ways of doing it, but I feel like it's through the arts that God is going to bless you monetarily then. It's wealth. It has to do with wealth, inherited wealth. So your wealth comes from the Lord. Yeah, that's your inheritance, what he's trying to give to you. So use it. Awesome. Oh, we're going to have to see some of those paintings. You're going to have to send Prophet Randy some so that we can see all that. And,
absolutely.
And be blessed. That's awesome. I'm telling you, I have grandchildren that they love the art. They love drawing, and they draw amazing. But they're studying this, but they're very talented in the arts. So our family has many artistic with music, with art, and I have a cousin that her artwork was put in movies. I've never seen the movies or anything like that, but I've heard of her name even being put in the titles of the movie. But she's not a believer. So how much more amazing it is to do things for the Lord. That is better than anything. Amen?
Yes.
That's
Amen.
Better than anything. So pursue that, and that'll give you rest too, because when you're doing that, you enter that rest, and that also helps you with school, with the schoolwork, and you'll be under that anointing. It's going to flow. You'll see. It'll be a blessing overall. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, that is really encouraging for me.
Wow, that's awesome. I wish when I was young that God would have done something like that, but I wasn't a believer at that time. But you're young. Wow, the things that God is going to do in your life, just because you're younger and you got more time on your life, but God can do it with anybody, no matter how old or young you are. When you give your heart to the Lord and to do it his way, things flow. Amen? All right. So is there anything else you want prayer for?
Not tonight. I just really, this really was encouraging for me, so I'm really glad I called in. I'm actually at work right now, so I'm a delivery driver, but I just really felt the need to call in tonight. So I've had my phone in my pocket tuning in when I can, and he just works everything out to where everything just works out, you know, for his children. And I actually got in the car to take a delivery somewhere, and I pulled my phone up, and I heard you say, I don't know why they can't hear me, but I'll get them later. And I was like, oh, I bet that was
okay.
It was perfect timing, Melvin.
It's perfect timing.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Ashley. Well, God bless you, and may the Lord bless you on your drive.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a great night.
Have a blessed week. Bye-bye. Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Oh, that's all awesome. All right, let's see who I have taken. All right. Okay, 831-596. Let's go back to that person. Your name and where you're
Hello.
From?
Hi, Carmen.
Yes.
It's Noelle in California. How are you?
Hey, how are you? God bless you. Give me a moment. Let me pray for you.
Okay.
Let me pray for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for Noelle. Thank you, Jesus, for Noelle, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Noelle. Thank you for the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for, besides all the other things that are happening around, the joy of the Lord is her strength, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life. Thank you, Lord, for supplying all her needs, Father God. Thank you, Father God, because she knows that money and riches aren't everything, but having the Lord is everything. And I thank you for that, for her knowing and understanding that, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, what you're yet to do in her life. Oh, Father God, give her more. Give her more of you. Give her more of you. Give her more of you, and help her to share Jesus even more as the days go by, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for that heart. That heart that shares Jesus with the joy of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Noelle, are you there? Sorry.
Thank you. Amen. thank you so much for the prayer. The joy of the Lord. I mean, that's everything right there. That is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can pray for this and pray for that, and we think we're miserable or we're lacking because we don't have those things, and in a natural way, you know, we can be, but, you know, at the end of the day, really the joy of the Lord and the peace of God is what we need. When we don't have that, none of those things can fulfill us. So thank you so much.
Exactly.
And I do need more of the joy of the Lord. And, you know, you were talking earlier about Randy's prayers and communion on Thursday night, and it was anybody that didn't listen Thursday night, I agree with you. They need to go back and they need to listen. There was such a deliverance in the release of condemnation. There was a deliverance in people you know, he talked about false accusations. And, you know, I had, and I had told him, I said, you know, even though, you know, you pray for forgiveness and you believe you're forgiven, and yet there's this, like, you can believe it for everybody else, but then there's sort of this dirty little underlying condemnation that it's almost like the case isn't closed. I was deliberate of that. And also, when you talked about the false accusations as part of condemnation, you know, there's a lot of people out there that were the black sheep of the family, or they were the scapegoat of the family, or in a relationship, and under the shroud of being the bad person, you know, always, you know, and it becomes a persona that you have to wear undeservedly, but that's just the role in that family's scripts that you are, or in that relationship, or what have you. And I didn't even realize, you know, the false accusations, the bondage, you know, even though, you know, being away from the people, you know, you think, well, I'm out of the situation, but there's still this condemnation. You know, they said you were this, just ripped this. It was almost like a cement statue in a yard of a person, and the cement just starts cracking and coming off, you know, and the real person is freed. And that's the kind of deliverance. It was powerful for me. And one thing I realized in it was I didn't realize how much it was needed, you know, and it was like when you are in relationships where you're the scapegoat and the bad person, and there's a, you know, sort of a false belief or accusation, just the MO about who you are, you know, even though you forgive them and, you know, do those things, you don't have your day in court. You know what I'm saying? It's an injury, and you forgive, still living with it, you know? And it was almost like, you know, it was almost like 1,000 cases were dismissed.
<You know? laughs> Wow. Like the weight of what the world was trying to put on you came off.
Absolutely. And it was people that, for the majority, that were family that I loved, you know, and they
but
loved
you know
me.
What?
But
that's what happened with Joseph. That's what happened with Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, I took him, showed him what he was going to do, and God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And so
that's
he
right.
showed him ahead of time the end at the beginning, and so he had to walk that through and learn some things.
Yes.
If God had given him the things that he was going to give him, he wouldn't have been ready. He was immature to receive it. So the trials and the sorrows and all the stuff that he went through, that helped him to get to where God wanted him, to strip him off of those things that were in him so that he could get to the place where he was useful and realize that it wasn't in his strength that he was going to do these things. But it was through God. God was preparing him
Absolutely.
And stripping things off of him.
Absolutely.
And he had to do
Absolutely.
It in that way. Another person, it could have been another way. But each one of us has certain situations we have to walk through to get to where God wants us to walk to. And when we start understanding that, then we're going to be more thankful, and we're going to be more restful in him, knowing and understanding
yes.
that we can trust in him, that we can trust
yes.
him, that he has everything under control, that no matter what's
yes.
happened to us, that no matter what other people have done it, that even the things that they have done or will do for our evil, God will turn it around for our good. And when
Amen.
We trust that, then we can live a life that's, you know, at rest in his peace. He's our shalom.
I didn't even know how affected I was. I mean, I thought, well, it's over, you know, and it was, you know, it's not something on a conscious level until that night. And I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? You know, what are you doing? And, you know, it just was so powerful. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, and Randy was talking that night about healings, you know, and I didn't connect it when he was talking about healings until after he was, you know, talking about, you know, the false accusations, right? And being free of that. But I realized that, and Randy was saying, like, it can come all at once, or it can be like a two-step, or it can be a time thing. And I realized in that moment when that was taken off of me, that there was also going to have to be a healing, because when, you know, there was a trauma, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that because I want the t-shirt, you know, and I want to join a victims club, but there is a trauma, you know, and there is a hurt that, you know, but I also felt like when God did that, that he would also take care of that. I didn't feel injured. I felt more like raw and exposed a little bit, you know, and, and trusting in God. I mean, even Friday and Saturday, you know, I just have been just really meditating and just grateful and just feeling like I'm just set free, you know, just set free.
Well, Randy has taught us, you know, that taking communion changes our DNA. And there is studies about memories of trauma, right, where it goes to your cellular memory. Your cells in your body remember it. And sometimes a person may have a trauma, right, and right around that same time of year, they experience these feelings again, whether it's been for loss, and they don't even realize, they don't even see the connection sometimes. Why am I feeling this way? And they don't remember that they went through some years ago, the same day, around that same cycle, that trauma. And so God, the blood of Jesus, paid for all of that, whether at the cellular level or, you know, in your mind. Everything affects our body to the cellular level. And he already paid for that. And so when we take communion, we're set free. We're set free from all of that. And we spoke about that. There's certain ministries that even talk about the cellular memory. And there's this lady minister that says that her daughter's a doctor and explained to her that it is a real thing. It's cellular memory. It remembers. There's been people that have had dental work or an organ transplant, and all of a sudden, they're having cravings for things that they never craved before, for alcohol, for a cigarette or whatever. And it was because of the person's organ or the part of a bone or something of that person that was put into that person's body, where that person is experiencing things
that they never experienced before. My husband that's passed had a heart transplant. And he was from the deep South, and he was a meat and potatoes kind of guy, and everything, you know, and he was very definite, you know, he didn't want to try new things. Now I was raised in California. We met back East in Tennessee, but I was raised in California. I mean, it's like half and half, the community. And so my friends growing up, you know, their mama had a big pot of beans on the stove, you know. It was, you know, tacos and burritos and quesadillas, and it was, you know, you name it. And it was just that kind of food. I loved it. And it was, like, one of my most favorite things to eat. So we would be on the road, and that was always the fight, right? I wanted Mexican food. He didn't. And so I pass on it. But that was always the thing. And then he'd tell me, anybody that can eat that will eat mud, right? He just hated it. And I loved it. So it was always a thing. So he had his heart transplant, and he was supposed to go easy on some, you know, sodium and some other things. And long story short, I come to find out that, and this is shortly after his heart transplant, that he is sending my older son, who was, oh boy, he was probably, okay, 11? Or 12 on a bicycle, $10 over to the taco shop to get him tacos. I'm like, what? right? Okay. So I find this out. I'm like, this is so weird. I mean, there were other things, believe me, but, like, this is just weird. You know, I mean, like, he was not a young chicken. You know, I mean, he was pretty definite, mm-hmm. right, in his ways. So, okay, he got to a place where he wasn't doing well at all, and they didn't think he was going to make it. And I got a phone call from the donor. It's the donor, like a donor network. And it's sort of like the middle between the people that received the organs and the families that donated, you know. And they give people an opportunity to, if they want to connect or not. And so I got a phone call from them. And it turns out that he got was from a young Hispanic man, very young. And his mama wanted to cook for my husband. And the woman said, this is how this woman loves on people, is through cooking for them. And she mm-hmm. would just love to meet him and the family meet him and cook him a big Mexican dinner. Oh, my
gosh. He probably would have loved it.
It didn't happen. He's really sick. And, you know, I told him, at that point, he didn't look like he was going to make it, you know. And so, you know, I kind of felt like it would be two losses for her, you know. But how mm-hmm. interesting that it was a Hispanic heart, you know. I mean, like, if there is such a thing, right? But that boy's heart grew up on Mexican food, and his mama was a great cook. And mm-hmm. Alan, after the transplant, was sending his kids sneaking behind my back to go get him tacos.
You didn't want to admit that he liked it then.
Yeah, the heart transplant. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, and that's why, and I'm saying this too, and not to bring condemnation or anything, that's why it's very important to be careful who you are with.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual encounters, you know, as young people,
mm-hmm.
they think it's nothing. And it's
mm-hmm.
it's dangerous because you create soul ties. There is a
that's right.
A soul tie spiritually that happens there, and that goes into your spirit in your DNA.
Yep.
And so you may get married, and you'll be thinking about that person. If you haven't broken those soul ties, you'll be thinking about that person because that soul ties is there. Memories. It's the memories of certain things that happen. I mean, it doesn't even have to be sexual. It could be, you know, that's why it's those emotional relationships that men or women have out of the marriage with another person. It doesn't have to be sexual. It can be an emotional thing that creates soul
mm-hmm.
ties. And so
mm-hmm.
we have to be careful who we're with.
And it's also
and
all of their unhealthy choices and connections, you know.
Exactly.
It's not just like that one time with that person and it's in a box and that's what happens. It's the lifestyle they've lived, the choices they've made, and the people they've connected with and all of their choices.
Exactly.
And all of, you know.
Exactly.
It's a scary proposition.
So it could be,
but, you know, when you're
hundreds of people and you not
yeah,
know it because
that,
you can,
that's
with
right.
so many, everybody thinks it's okay and they don't realize
mm-hmm.
it. And then they have depression and all this stuff. And that's where the enemy gets a foothold in your life, and it becomes a stronghold. Next thing you know, you're craving that. You're craving to have sex with that person, or be with that person. And I mean, not all those relationships, you know, being with somebody doesn't mean that you can love them, but not in the way that the youth do it now. The people do
I
it
know.
Now. Even old people do it
I
too.
Know.
Where
I know.
They're going from one person to another and to another, and then they wonder why they're so depressed. They wonder why they're so depressed. And so we have to be careful with our lives, our spiritual walk before the Lord. He's telling you these things because he loves you. He wants
That's
you
right.
to be free. He wants to give you a good life. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you with good relationships, with a good
right.
marriage, so that you don't have problems, so that the enemy doesn't have a foothold to get in there. But people don't understand that it's not that God is trying to take the fun out of it. No. And people don't understand. They're hurting themselves, and then they blame God. But God didn't do it. You were the one that did it.
You're
the one
that's truly
making those choices.
Anybody, that's right. Anybody that needs, you know, I mean, of course we can all pray and ask for forgiveness, but Thursday night was such a blessing. Anybody
yeah.
that, you know, wants to hear Randy pray over them and get scrubbed clean before God and free
like
of condemnation, in forgiveness, and just released from anything in their past, you know. And of course, you have that with God to ask for it. But I'll tell you, when you're hurting or you feel like, you know, I feel bad about this part of my life, or I believe that for others, not me, having somebody pray over you and with you and stand in that
mm-hmm.
gap and declare it by God's word, and it's powerful. And I needed it Thursday night. I didn't even know how much I needed, especially not that I haven't done plenty of things in my lifetime that needed forgiveness, that God has forgiven. I'm just like anybody else. I've done my share and then some, but that when it was not just that, but when he went to there was something so powerful that I didn't realize with the false accusations and the being wrapped up in condemnation, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, it was so powerful. I mean, I would not have known to pray it or ask for it, but when he prayed it and it happened, it changed everything for me. Everything, you know, I didn't
no.
even realize. Yeah.
I'm going to have to pray because I sense that there may be somebody that's holding that condemnation right now on the line. Maybe for soul ties and for whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, I want you to pray.
You want me to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not like you in with work.
No,
okay.
It doesn't matter. You pray as the Lord
okay.
leads you.
Okay.
That's what
God
I'm sensing.
Jesus
that
name.
God wants you to pray. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
God, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to be with us tonight, Lord. And we praise your name and we thank you for your goodness on us, your mercies, the grace, the favor, the protections that we've had and that we have. And Lord, I just thank you for the forgiveness. I just thank you for the forgiveness that you give us just by us asking you, Lord, just by us coming to you as a father and saying, please, Lord, forgive me of my sins even now. I'm sorry. And that we can say those words to God and we can know it's forgiven. It's done right there. And the things other people have said, I mean, the condemnation that we feel, like we just don't feel like forgiven enough. Or that, I'll tell you, there's anybody out there, you know, this Roe versus Wade, you know, I just want to speak this. The Roe versus Wade, the abortion issue. There's so many women. Those abortions were done. It was a woman's body. There's so many women out there that are hurting. There's so many women out there that are struggling, that haven't forgiven themselves. And they
yes.
don't feel like God does. God will, even now. You just have to ask him. And God will forgive you and heal you in Jesus' name. If you have that on your heart and you're struggling with that, God will forgive you. He loves you. He's your father. And there is no condemnation. After God has forgiven you, you are clean. You are white as the driven snow in the eyes of God. And that's your healing right there. And you don't have to carry that along. And you don't have to keep your mouth shut and not speak up because you feel like a hypocrite. You don't have to feel less than. You made a mistake. You take it to God. You say, Lord, forgive me now. I beg you. I ask you. And I thank you. And that is,
yes.
you know, that's on my heart. I've been seeing, you know, a lot of the, in the news, I just want to say, thank you, God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave prayer and go to talk. But that has been on my heart. I've seen it so much in the news. And
yeah,
I think
glad
well, that's
you
great.
That up.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
glad you
I see
up.
It. And I think, well,
because
that's great, right?
One of the consequences of having sexual encounters, people getting pregnant. And I'm not trying to put any condemnation on anybody, but I'm trying to show where it begins and what it does when we get out of God's order. We hurt ourselves.
Right.
It's not God that
hurts
us.
Right.
And so, but there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. I had a friend years ago. I lived in Germany, and I met this lady, and she lived right across from me, and I became friends with her, and I found out that she was always home. Her windows were always closed, and I was like, what is that all about? And so my husband at the time was saying, you know, well, she's there all the time. Why don't you go and visit? And I said, well, I will. I was looking for an opportunity to minister to somebody, and so I went, and I befriended her. And she opened up about, you know, the things that happened in her marriage. They had had an abortion. And that she carried because she obeyed her husband. And she carried for many years, and it created depression. And so that those are traumas that stay in the body. And but God set her free. God said, and I was a baby Christian at the time. I didn't know how to handle that. So I started getting books and started reading books and figuring out how am I going to help this new friend that I have. I want her to be set free. And I started reading books about how you pray for other people. And so basically I just threw the books out, and I started praying for her because I was like, I'll be here forever trying to do this. I said, Lord, you know, set her free. And little by little, she got set free.
Amazing. That is such a beautiful thing.
And it was through
thing.
the love that I gave her. She came out of it, and she started going to church, and then God started putting other people in her life that helped her. So one person did one thing, the other person did another thing. And so if you don't know how
that's
to help
beautiful.
People that you know, just start by loving them. And
right.
help, you know, just let them know that God loves them. And as God brings them in, he will put the people, the right people in their path to set them free. And now she is a happy grandmother of many grandkids.
Oh, my God. Isn't that beautiful?
Many grandkids and her daughters. Yeah.
You know, it's like we're seeing it in the news every day, right? Because we're leading up to, you know, when this will pass in certain states. And everybody's fired up and charged up about it, you know. And I mean, a lot of good reasons, right, to stop it, and you know that. But every time I see this, I'm like, I think the millions of women have feelings about it afterwards because they were so young, or so dumb, or so scared, you know. When you're 18 years old, you're told that it's, you know, it's just tissue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're not thinking with the head of somebody older that, you know, that saved and knows the difference, you know, or even then, I mean, people can make mistakes, but, you know, so I just, you know, so I hear this and I'm seeing this and I'm like, we're beating the drums, right? Saying this is great, a win, right? And then I'm thinking, certainly there was trauma from all this.
Yes.
Right? Surely all of these abortions didn't happen, and there's no after effects. We know there are. We know that, you know, and so
yeah.
I see the church embracing, you know, this change, which is great, right? And I feel like there's all these women out there that are probably feeling condemned, you know, or that are feeling
mm-hmm.
that they
mm-hmm.
won't be forgiven, or they're feeling, you know, I mean, once you've been forgiven, and once, I mean, I'll tell you, after the condemnation of being falsely accused that I was released from Thursday night, when God does
mm-hmm.
something like that, but you want everybody to have it, right? You know, you want get you some,
it's
get
done.
You some, try. You know, he did it for me, he'll do it for you. I mean, we get all, you know, kind of baby Christian again, right? You know, like, this is so good, you know, try some. And, mm-hmm. but this, I think, is, I feel like the church, is, we're condemning the abortion, which is, this, you know, a life stand, you know. But I feel like there's been millions and
we
millions
give
and millions
praise.
Of them. Yes,
we got to give grace to those that are hurting. And that's what Jesus is all about, giving grace, unmerited favor, favor you don't deserve. And he'll give it to you. He'll set you free. But you have to come to him. You have to want it. You have to come into agreement with what he's saying first, saying, yes, it was wrong. I agree with you. I want to be set free. And then the power of his blood is effective in your life. But if you're denying that that you did nothing wrong, then there's no forgiveness for that because you're not coming into agreement. We have to come into agreement with him for us to be set free. And it was funny because I was talking to a friend earlier about this, that women sometimes will hide this. And sometimes even only the mother and the person will know about it, or just the person will know about it.
There's so much shame, you know. I mean, there's so much shame, and so that's what makes them quiet. You know, that's what keeps their mouth shut, and because that's what the enemy wants. You stay in shame.
Yeah.
Boy, look at what you
and
did.
And so if
you
anybody,
have no right to
anybody
nothing.
That's
yeah.
listening, you have the right to be set free. You come
Amen.
In agreement with Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Lord, it was wrong. But he's giving
that's
you forgiveness.
Right.
He wants to give you grace. He
that's
wants
right.
to set you free
that's
because
right.
he wants to give get you
that's
back
right.
on track. He
Amen.
Wants to get you back on track. And so when you do that, then you're a pleasing aroma. You're doing exactly what he tells you, he's telling you to do.
That's
and that's being, then you're not sweating it. You're not
that's
going,
right.
and a lot of people that are in sin, they get into work. Oh, I got to do all this because, you know, I got to get God's forgiveness. No, he already paid the price for you.
That's
it's already
right.
done.
And there's nothing
just
take we can
it
do.
And be
there's,
in agreement.
There's nothing we can do that makes it any more forgiven. We just have to ask and receive it. And you know, this the shame of our sins, of our mistakes, how we fall. I mean, they can, you know, even as Christians, there can be so much embarrassment or shame, and we think, I'm supposed to be better than that or whatever. But that shame mutes us and it silences us. And so instead of us getting the help we want or getting the forgiveness or changing, we fester. You know, it's like the bigger the secret.
I'm hearing something that it's not only abortion. It's there's some people that live in shame because of pornography. That they're doing pornography and they can't get away from it. But you know what? Those chains that are binding you, God can set you free if you come in and agree with him saying, I'm wrong.
Amen.
Lord, set me free. And Lord, I just pray for those that are right now are sensing that and coming into agreement with you that they're wrong. I pray that you set them free right now in the name of Jesus. Set them free in their minds, Father God. Set them free in their emotions, Father God. Those emotions of guilt, of sins that have committed. And Father God, I pray that you set people free tonight from soul ties, Father God. Give them a fresh start, a new start in the name of Jesus. Set them free, Father God, right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, because it's already done. It is a done deal in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for any condemnation, any guilt that other people have tried putting on, anything with sexual molestations, Lord. We just ask you right now to set them free, Father God, and even from the memories of it, the traumas of it, Father God, and any other trauma, any even soldiers that have been traumatized, Father God, through war. We ask you, Father God, to set them free, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, set them and their memories free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the way to the molecular, to the cellular level. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Thank you,
thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Isn't God great that he will and he does? And if they prayed tonight for that forgiveness, he did, right? I mean, we have a great God, a great Father, and, you know, that the enemy wants to keep our mouth shut and have us in shame and guilt and put it under. The moment we ask God, the moment we go to our Father and we say, forgive me, I sinned, you know, forgive me, Lord.
Yes.
It's done.
God says it. those that are heavy laden, come to him, and he'll give you rest. You know what
That's
it
right.
is to be carrying that for years and years, and all the sins that we have for years and years, the deep depression, the weight of it.
That's
but when
right.
you give it to
That's
Jesus
right.
and you come in agreement with him and acknowledge that he's the only way, the truth, and the life, the only person that can set you free, and you ask him, he sets you free. He sets you free.
Amen.
Amen. So, sister, is there anything else you want prayer for? I'm going to keep you on the line because I have another caller, but I want to finish with you, and I want you to stay on the line. So
thank
if we need to pray or if
well,
you
thank you so much. Thank you so much for praying for me tonight, girl. I'll stay on the line.
All right. Is there anything else you want prayer for?
No, I'm great. I'm
okay.
I'm very blessed. I appreciate you, and I thank you for praying for me.
Okay. Well,
God bless you, girl.
Mute yourself so it won't go echoing everywhere. I'll
okay.
take the next caller, and you wait on the line, and if you need to pray about anything, let me know. All right. My next caller, and there's other people on the line. If you need to be prayed for tonight, you want prayer, you can raise your hand. I'll take your call. The next call is 254-541. I'm not sure if I took that one already. We'll find out. 254-541, your name and where you're from?
It's Ann from
Hello?
Texas. Yes, it's Ann
from
Texas.
Texas. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Ann from Texas, a Texan girl. Thank you, Jesus, for Ann, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for Ann in Jesus' name. You know, Ann, I'm seeing that you're having a prayer. You're like Hannah, that you're praying for this prayer. And let me tell you, God is hearing you. He hears your prayer. He hears your prayer. And God's going to answer your prayer. You continue believing and standing for it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you're praying about, Father God, because it is for God's glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. For Anne or Anna? Anne or Anna? What is it?
Anne.
Okay, for Anne. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for that sweet name, Lord. I remember as a child, I loved that name, Anne. For some reason, Anne. I loved that name as a little girl. And I thank you, Lord, because you're showing me the love you have for Anne right now. Thank you, Lord. You're relating that to me right now, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in her life, Father God. The Lord loves you. He's loved you ever since you were a little girl. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even in your mother's womb, he loved you. He knew you. And he has a perfect plan for your life. And you say, well, what about me, Lord? What about me? Yes, he has a plan for you. And he's waiting for you to say yes. He's waiting for you to say yes because he has a perfect plan for you. I'm hearing Jeremiah 29:11. Give me a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For I know the plans that I have for you. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So God has plans with you. God has plans for you. Are you going to agree with him and come in agreement with it, those plans? Because he has plans, but there's got to be an agreement here. So, Anne, whatever you've done in the past, there's something new that God has for you. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. And I see some tools, like some gardening tools. I don't know. God will have you, I guess, planting something. There's something about those tools, those gardening tools. I saw the word tools. And I thank you, Lord, for the plans that you have for Anne and the things that you would have her do. Father God, you have put some tools in her hands. And you're waiting for her to say yes and put her to work in Jesus' name, like in a different way. This is in a different way, not in the same way you've had before. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's wanting you to be an assistant to the gardener. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. He has plans for you, plans in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Anne. Anne, are you there? Do you have anything
for her,
Noel?
Not at all. Not at all. Thank you very much.
Do you want to pray for her for anything?
Oh, I'm listening.
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's going to pray for you, I guess.
Oh, I just ask God to bless her and to lift her up, and that, you know, I pray God's best on her. You know, I pray that God opens her eyes to the things that are hers already, you know, the things that he's already planned for her and providing for her. You know, I just pray that God lifts that veil, and she's in the next, realm, like a veil is lifted, and she's in the next realm, and she's receiving and walking in it. But I think the best of God is what I want to pray for her, is God's best, not to settle, not to ask for less because it makes sense in the carnal mind, but in her situation, for God's very best to be on her, even if she doesn't think, you know, she's important enough for some position or worthy enough for some grace or favor, that we ask God's best be on her, and he bless her like that in Jesus' name. And I thank God for doing it.
Thank you, Lord. I like what you said, you know, about it being already done. And so is there anything you would like to say, Anne?
No, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you, God.
Bless you.
Wow. As soon as the Lord gave me that your name, and I looked at it, I felt a love for that name. And it's not that I love the name. It's that God loves you. It's that God loves you. And he's loved you for a long time. There's something that he's calling you to do. But what I saw was like tools. And I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if you're resisting or maybe you don't think that you're good enough to serve. But he has you, he wants to use you. And there's some tools he's put in your hands to build the lives of others. Amen. I don't know if that rings a bell or if you're into that or maybe it's something yet to come.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. I receive it.
You receive
Sounds
it?
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Really?
Thank you. Yes.
Well, stay in agreement with him. There's something about it's something different is what I'm getting. It's not like before. It's something different. And you may
something
understand
different.
That. I don't. Yeah, it's something different. But he's going to use you maybe in some area that you've never operated before. The Lord is going to be using you, and it's to minister to other people. Something about ministering to other people, allowing you to be used by God to minister to other people. And I don't know exactly what it is, but what I saw was tools, like gardening tools. And when I see gardening, I think of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think he's the gardener, so... You're his assistant for some reason. I don't know if God already has you in that season, but it's for you to help. And you think, why me? Who? Why me? 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 No. Yes, you. 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 You.
That's what when I was praying for her. That's kind of what I was feeling. Was it was sort of like stepping out, like the veil being lifted, like she was going to walk and be more aware of who she is in God. You know, she's a king's kid, and God is her daddy. And so it's not just about what the shoes she had on yesterday, where they could walk her, but now, like, more of a realization and stepping into, like, you know, I am mighty in God. You know, I mean, there is a supernatural God in heaven that loves me
And he's walking with me right now. He's providing for me right now. He's opening doors for me right now. He's closing doors he doesn't want me to go through. I'm going to trust him. And, you know, he is making the way for me. And it's blessed and it's good. And I'm believing God's best for me. I'm believing God's best. And that's just sort of like this, I want to say princess, you know, like we're all princesses. We're God's girls, right? But
I like
sort
when
of,
you said daddy's girl. When you said that sounded something in my spirit. And that's exactly what I'm sensing, too. Something about the little girl. I don't know. That's maybe why the Lord was showing me that I love that name when I was a little girl. It's God loving her ever since she was a little girl. And her daddy loves her. And so you got to step out. And I don't know what it is. It's something that you haven't done maybe before.
I think it's walking and knowing it. I think that's the difference. I think it's walking in the knowledge that that you're walking in your identity in God, you know, who you are to God, who God is to you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think about that, Ann?
Totally agree.
Amen.
Really?
Totally
Talk
agree.
To us.
That's all. Totally agree. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Do you want to say anything else? Share anything? A testimony?
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just stuck on that word, like you don't think, you know, that you can. But you can. In Jesus, you can, because it's through him, not through you. You can. And don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. God bless you, sister. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. I have other callers. If you want ministry tonight, raise your hand and I'll take your call. There's other people on the line that have not raised their hand. And thank you, Noel. Awesome. Oh, I didn't know you had it in you.
You're so cute. That was really, you know, I'm not the linguist that a lot of people are, but you know, when we were praying for her, it really was so strong in my heart, you know, that it was like this God's best and stepping out into it, you know, like this identity. And you know, there's I'm just going to say this real quick, you know, online, you know, you see these memes, right? And it's not until you've seen that you have an identity in Christ that's different from maybe who you have been treated or thought to be or done to yourself, you know? And there's a meme that says, you know, you're not who they say you are, you're who God says you are. And that is really ho-hum unless you have that kind of breakthrough or that aha that, you know, I'm who God says I am. And then you start, you know, sort of breathing that in and taking that on and walking in it, you know, with them. That's where those mountaintops and those supernatural breakthroughs and all those fun things that the good things that God has for us happen in that, you know, but that's just the icing on the cake. We love that stuff too. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, I have a sense that there's a lot of people online that are listening and they don't realize what God has put in their lives. And I just want to, you may not raise your hand, but it's time to move and tell others about Jesus. And you feel like, who, me? Yes, you. God is wanting you to move so that he gets the glory. Amen. And I don't know if some people think that they have their hands raised up, but right now I don't see any hands raised up.
of the callers that are at the end of the list. If you want ministry tonight, please raise your hand. Otherwise, I will play a song and wait and see if somebody needs ministry. And I'll play this song once again about the commission. I love that song. That's so anointed, this song. Amen. Give me a moment, and I'll play it before I go back. Okay, let's see. I have another caller. Give me a minute right here. Make sure that I'm in the right one. Okay. All right. 206-377, your name and where you're from.
My name is Gina. I am from Washington State.
Gina from Washington State. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Lord. Give me a minute so I could pray for you, and then we'll
okay.
get back to you. Father God,
okay.
we just thank you for Gina, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Virginia, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I see a basket, and I'm seeing that the Lord is showing you something with the basket, that he's showing you how you're going to use that basket. Not the way that you think automatically, because you'll look at it and you'll say, oh, I can do this, 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 and this. But no, that's not what God is saying. He says, I'm giving you this basket. This is the way we're going to use it. we're going to use it this way. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her what you're putting before her. Thank you, Lord, but you're showing her what you're putting before her. Gina, I'm just going to say it. Thank you, Jesus. When it's no longer we that live, but Christ that lives in us, things are done his way because we're no longer alive. So the old man is not alive. And the old man can't speak and can't do anything because it's dead. It's dead. And so that's what God is showing, that it's him through you that things are going to be done. Because it's no longer I that live, Christ that lives in me is what I'm hearing. I thank you, Lord, for that basket. I don't know if that basket is like the loaves of the fish and the bread. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in her life, Father God, that you're going to make her a fisher of men. And I thank you, Father God, for the things that you're putting in her, Father God, to do things your way in Jesus' name. And that's the basket I'm seeing. It's almost like, you know, when Jesus had the baskets with fish and bread, he sent them out to feed the masses. And so God is going to show you how to feed the masses, but his way. Amen. Ms. Noelle, do you have anything for her?
I just ask that God bless her and that no more delays on the things that she's been waiting for according to God's will. Anything that's been holding it back and hindering it that isn't of God, that would end tonight. And, you know, according to God's will, that she would not have delays that aren't of God and that she would see God working in her life more and that she'd start seeing the green shoots. And that would be an excitement that, you know, when you start seeing God showing up and things that you hoped for in him or you felt promised by him or you believed in and you felt like it was overdue, that God and God's will be done. And she starts seeing these things and have a new joy in it. And as she sees the green shoots in her life and sees God working in her life, that she has a renewed joy. And I just ask that God bless her and love her, and that she sees the green shoots from God and these things happening for her.
Gina, are you, I sense you're a leader. I'm not sure. Are you in ministry?
No, I'm actually not in ministry, but I mean, maybe I have that in me, but no. But I am definitely a Christian for sure, you know.
Okay. Have you done some sort of ministry? Because I definitely sense there's a leadership in you, and maybe that's what the me seeing the basket and serving. So that has to do with leadership, the servanthood. Have you thought about that?
Oh, not like that. Well, I mean, like, I'm an X-ray tech. Like, I work in the medical field. So here and there, like, I'll, like, you know, bring God up in a certain way.
Honey, that's being a minister too. I mean, it doesn't mean that you are pastor so and so. Doctors, nurses, they minister to other people. That's the basket I'm seeing.
Yeah.
He's going to be giving you these things so that you could give other people. So that's why I was sensing the leadership in you. Yes, Missy, you are a leader.
That is great.
You are a leader.
Yeah, like, yes. I mean, I try to, like, I'm not all the time or anything like that, but, like, I do try to, like, bring God up, you know? Like, I mean, it's just, you obviously have to be, like, where I work, it's very liberal. It's not a Christian kind of place. But, So you have to obviously have to be careful how you say it. But, like,
yes.
I don't know, like, I feel like I try to be like, well, you know, like, for me, what helps is if, because it's like people come in, like, whatever, you know, arthritis or whatever, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, for me, what works, I mean, I don't always say it, like, but I'm like, is if, you know, I'll pray about it, and like God can do anything, you know. But you know, that works for me. And then I fill them out kind of, because then I don't want them to be like she was preaching to me, you know, like that kind of stuff. Because you don't want to get in trouble like that, you know. You have to kind of be careful.
Well, God's gonna give you the wisdom.
Yeah, I saw the baskets.
Like when he fed the masses with bread and fish, he sent the disciples to feed the masses, right? And so he's placing things in your basket for you to give to others. And he'll give you strategies on how to do that. But be aware. Be aware and be prepared. Okay? And as you spend time with the Lord, ask him, okay, Lord, what is this, the message? You know, he filters it through you. He uses those words and ministers to you so that you can minister to others. So definitely I sense that in you, that God is going to use you in a feeding way, I guess, maybe the word, I guess. He feeds the masses, so he uses his disciples. You are his disciple, right?
Yes.
So he's going to use you to feed others.
Oh, good.
So let him fill your basket so that you can give it out. And the more that let him give and the more you give out, the more there's more is going to appear. And more is going to appear.
That's true. Yeah. And the more you'll, like, it'll be more, like, almost natural. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you stop it, if you stop the flow will stop. But the more you seek him, the more you allow him, the more you're going to get
to give out
more. Like flowing waters,
true.
Right? So, yeah, I definitely sense a leadership in you. And I wasn't sure, but this is you definitely are a leader. You work with the medical, and that's healing too. Words of healing. You never know how God's going to use you. So allow him to do it. Let him lead. Let him lead.
Okay.
And so remember what, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the message. The message was priest. Anybody that's a minister for God is a priest, right? We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation.
Uh-huh.
So if we are priests, right, we are going to give. We can't sweat like the priest. I read that scripture earlier. I hope you go back and listen to it, because it has to do with not sweating. It's not in our strength that we do things. It's in God's strength. Okay? And if you're doing things in your strength in order to get something, then it's not pleasing. When you sweat, what happens? Over a period of time, what happens when you sweat? You become stinky. In these days, in Texas, it's been hot, and it's been really hot where people are sweaty. And some people have made the mistake of buying antiperspirant, deodorant instead of an antiperspirant. Don't make that mistake. Because then you'll be stinky, you'll be smelly, and God doesn't want you to be smelly. The way you don't become smelly is by not sweating, doing it God's way. God had a way of, in his word, he told them what kind of clothes they were to wear. They weren't to wear anything with wool, because what does wool do? It makes you warm, hot, and so the priest was not supposed to sweat to do the ministry for the Lord. So you seek the Lord in his way and do things his way. Okay? That way you are not smelly. You don't smell like self. You're not full of yourself.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah,
so go back
to the
message and listen to what I was saying, because it's an important message. And God wants us to go out and minister to others. I sense that for everyone that called in tonight. God is commissioning us to go out, and even more so as the time goes closer. I don't know when he's coming. Not the word of God says that even Jesus doesn't know, but he knows there's activity in heaven, that they're getting prepared. So he knows it's soon. And he says, I'm coming. But when? He doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. So we have to prepare. We have to prepare and do what we need to do. And that song about the commission, he sends us to go. To go out there and tell them about Jesus and do greater things than that Jesus did. We're going to do greater things
But until then, mm-hmm. we continue doing what he's called us to do until he comes. We focus mm-hmm. on that. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, thank you for calling. Is there anything that you need prayer for?
No, I just was, like, just calling just to, like, yeah, you prayed for me, so that's good.
All right. Is there anything else, Miss Noel, that you would like to say?
For her, I just felt that, you know, I just felt like I should pray, like for something that was being held back or delayed, you know, and for her to just be encouraged and that God can move and God can lift the delay in a heartbeat, you know. If it's not his delay, then we believe with you that God's will be done and no more delays on God's will, no more delays on God's goodness and him moving for you. And I just ask God to bless her, and I'm so thankful she called in. And I love that she works, you know, in the medical field. And, you know, I'm listening to you, Carmen, and you're saying we're supposed to go out, right? Go out, you know, and you know, speak the word and, you know, have the good news. And God knows that she goes out 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. He knows where she is, right? So mm-hmm. God can, you know, she doesn't necessarily, unless God calls her, she doesn't have to get on a camel and go to some third world country if God wants to reach that, right? And, you know, putting in the 40-hour week, and there'll be people crossing her path. There'll be, you know, God will use her. It's not, it's amazing how when God uses us, it seems so natural, and it's the desire of our heart, you know, it lines up with mm-hmm. us, you know, it makes us happy, you know, and so, you know, I love that you were speaking that word to her, it right on, and I just ask God to bless her, and, you know, maybe there'll be some things open up that, you know, that she didn't even, well,
no,
we know there
right?
will be, but maybe... Yeah, I felt like with the green shoots that that she was going to see God working, which we know that anyway, right? I mean, that's a good
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gina, for calling. God bless you. You have a wonderful week. And
you too.
We're getting
thank you, guys.
To the end of,
God bless you, Gina.
God bless you. God bless you. All right.
God bless you.
All right. All right, everyone. So remember, we're supposed to be thriving, not striving, okay? And we're not supposed to be sweating. The priests don't sweat. Think about that. Anytime that you sweat during the day, think about that. Miss Carmen says, priests don't sweat. I'm not supposed to sweat. You know what I mean. It's not doing things in your own strength, doing things to obtain something. No, we do things for the Lord because he's already done it. It's already done. And so thank you, Lord, for this time together. We ask you to bless the PGM family and everybody on this line, Father God, and those that were on the line. Lord, we just ask you to give them an awesome week, a blessed week, that they will walk in your ways and that they would bring you glory in their lives, Father God. Use them, and Lord, let them go out there and tell other people about Jesus. And we praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
That's the end of the show. You have an awesome week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.